In the name of Jesus. The law is always going to get its man. Perhaps it'll take a little bit longer than we expected. Maybe it'll pop up years later after we've forgotten all about it. Maybe it won't take place until we're old and tired and can't run anymore and have given up fighting and pretending and convincing ourselves otherwise. Whatever the case, the law will always get its man. And in our reading for this evening, there are a lot of different men that the law is going to get. Go to the beginning, way back in Bethany, when the disciples self-righteously made the claim that they were really more concerned about the poor than they were about that expensive perfume that got wasted on Jesus. Yes, they said the magnanimous thing, but the old adage usually holds true. It's easy to care about the poor with other people's money. And the truth of the matter is, none of us are so selfless as to really and truly put the stranger before ourselves, but we sure would like others to think that we are. Continue along with the other disciples as they're reclined around the Passover feast, each one questioning whether or not it's going to be them who betrays Jesus. The very fact that the disciples, deep down inside, can't trust themselves in the strength of their own faith speaks volumes. The law gets them right away here as they whisper, "Is it I? Oh dear Lord, don't let it be me." It's a question, an accusation that lands home precisely because they know their hearts so well. Even if they would never admit it out loud, they can't conceive themselves that they wouldn't do the unthinkable. On to Mount of Olives, where boasting meets its match when a rumble with heavy eyelids comes to town. "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." Big, bold claims that slip away in the dreams of men who can't even fight sleepiness, let alone the powers of sin and death and the devil. We like to throw Peter under the bus on this one, but all of the disciples said the very same thing. He just said it first and said it loudest. And so the law gets its man once again, or better yet, gets 11 of them. It's almost as if we're finding a pattern here that can't be broken. And I know we haven't even gotten to Judas yet. Don't worry. I won't forget about everyone's favorite punching bag. But on to Caiaphas and the elders and the high priest. Remember from the Sunday when Lazarus was raised from the dead, it was Caiaphas who said it would be better if one man dies than the whole nation. Well, he was right. And now he's making sure that this takes place with secret courtroom antics and middle-of-the-night false testimonies. Isn't it strange how the sinner will manipulate people and situations in order to get what he wants? Surely none of us have ever done that. On to Peter, out there in the courtyard. Rooster crowing, Peter. Three times denying, Peter. May God strike me dead if I ever met the guy, Peter. My goodness, I wish these examples didn't hit so hard, so close to home. It's almost as if I could have been any one of these people. Dare I say, almost as if I'm every single one of these people. And there's Barabbas, too. Don't forget about Barabbas, notorious Barabbas, who murdered and lied and led an insurrection, guilty as can be Barabbas, who is righteously receiving the just rewards for all of his horrific deeds. The law had gotten that one, at least. Until, of course, he somehow slipped out of the law's grip. And we could go on and on and on, of course, the crowds calling for blood, the Pharisees urging them on, Pilate too scared to let justice stand, too scared to do his job, even if it meant that it would hurt him, too scared to stand up for what's right and denounce evil for what it is? Did you even notice that this man tried to wash his hands of it all, as if saying that you're not guilty of something makes it true? And then there's the soldiers who mock and beat and whip and torture. There are the two robbers who are hanging there to the right and to the left, guilty as can be of all of their crimes, who at least one of them is begging Jesus to come on down from the cross and take them with him. There are the crowds who revile and hate and jeer and spit and scream, "Let him be crucified." It's a mad, mad scene of messed up sinners, self-justifying sinners, ignorant sinners, big, bold sinners, cowardly sinners, hateful sinners, shame-filled sinners, shameless sinners. All of these sinners the law gets. Somehow, they know it. And some will feel it even before the sky goes black and the curtain is torn in two. Some won't understand until they're lying in their bed years from now and death finally creeps in through the window. But it isn't really any of these sinners who have brought about this scene this evening. Even though we love to point the finger and declare that this whole giant mess is somehow the other guy's fault, truth be told, none of those sinners had the power to put the Lord of life in chains and drag him to the cross. He went there of his own accord, of his own free will. Christ knew where his place was, where it was always going to be, since way back to the time of the fall when the serpent was promised that his head would be crushed. And so it is that Jesus, he didn't find himself up on that cross because of any of those sinners. He found himself up on that cross for the sake of those sinners. And so put yourself in the place of any of those men in our text for this evening. Or don't. It's probably better if you don't. You don't have to try and be anyone other than yourself. The sinner in all of us is enough. But remember something here. This is a good Friday. It's a glorious Friday. Contrition is warranted, to be sure, but not self-flagellation. The day isn't about beating yourself up. The law, that's already done that to you. Because the law always gets its man, or its woman, or its boy, or its girl. The law is going to condemn you and accuse you and lift a mirror up in front of you. It already has. That's why you're here. It's doing that right now, and it will continue far into the future because you can't outrun the law. The law won't ever get tired. Which brings us to, I think, the saddest part of this Good Friday, and I dare say that it doesn't have to do with Jesus, but instead it has to do with Judas. Not that he betrayed Jesus. Sure, that was sad enough, but many others had done the same, and I know that I have. What's sad, what is heartbreakingly sad, is that after the law had gotten him, after he was convicted to the point of trying to undo the undoable, he was told to see to his sin all by himself. And that's the worst of it all. Because when the sinner tries to see to his own sin, he can only end up in complete despair and utter dejection. Go see to it yourself puts Judas on the end of a rope because he can't unsin the sin that he sinned. Now there's another man who says a similar thing this evening, and that man is Pilate. And he said this to the crowds and to the Pharisees because he didn't want to be held responsible for putting Jesus on the cross. But like I said earlier, no one is responsible for this except Jesus. He places himself there, willingly, completely. And he does so because no one can see to their own sin by themselves. No one's able to outrun the law. Nobody's able to put up a defense against the accusations. No one's able to justify themselves or wash their hands enough or be contrite enough or feel sorry enough or make up for enough of all of that sin that's wrecked us and diseased us to the core. The law's always going to get its man. And so it is with Jesus. Up there, on that cross, the law finally got its man. The innocent lamb, innocent no longer. For the sins of the world were taken into that body. He made them all to be his, each and every single last one of them. Caiaphas' hatred, Pilate's cowardliness, the disciples' fear, Peter's hubris, Peter's denial, Barabbas' murder, the robber's robbery, Judas' betrayal, all of that was his now. And throw all of your sins up there too. Or again, don't. It's not like you need to lay them at Jesus' feet. He already took them off of you, made them to be his own, numbered himself to be with the sinner, made himself just like you. Jesus allowed himself to be crucified, but more than that, allowed himself to receive the full punishment that the law demanded for sin, for all sin, for your lusting, doubting, hating, conniving, thieving, betraying, lying, lazy, ugly, selfish, self-centered, holier-than-thou sin. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's what this night is all about. Because that's the purpose of that first gospel proclaimed way back in Genesis. That's the reason for the incarnation. That's the reason for the passion this evening. The law has gotten its man. The law, the justly and rightly, fairly and correctly made good on its promise, sin would be punished, fully and completely punished. There, right there, is hell. There is the righteous punishment for all sin. There is the full wrath of God poured out in all of its mighty weight and complete authority. Why had the Father forsaken his Son? Because the law had gotten its man. Why had the Father forsaken his Son? Because sin must be punished. And there's no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Why had the Father forsaken his Son? So that you might never, never have to see to your own sin. It's a dark night, I know. And it's one that might bring a tear to our eyes as we meditate on the passion of Christ our Savior. But we don't walk out of this place this evening mourning as those who have no hope. Tonight is a night of reserved joy, for we know what makes this day good. Christ has seen to your sin. He has done it, not you. He has declared that you are forgiven for his sake. So return here tomorrow night, and continue this celebration of God's salvation for you. Hear of your God's eternal love for you in his Son. Be the first tomorrow night to proclaim the Easter Alleluia. And then come again on Easter morning. The tomb that is shut tonight will be shut no longer. The law will have been fulfilled, and all that there will be left to do is to shout praises of him who died and rose again. So fear not, dear Christians. The law has already gotten its man. You don't have to see to your sin yourself. Your Savior has already seen to it. Which means that you have already been gotten by the gospel of Christ crucified. In the name of Jesus.